Hey everyone, welcome back. This is Stump Granny Audio 421. This is Jeremy for a change. The show's me, Kevin, and Chris. Well, we had a recording snafu in the beginning, so I think you only missed about the first 3 minutes of the show. Not a big deal, but just wanted to give you a heads up as to when I'm done talking here, it's going to go right into Kevin talking about something. Doesn't normally happen around these parts anymore, but we didn't want to lose an entire hour and whatever minutes of the show just because we missed the first 3 minutes of us three yokels goofing around about, hey, how is everybody? So you didn't miss anything. We started talking about the Nashville Predators whooping that Pittsburgh ass, which is great, except if you're Kevin. So sit back, relax. Got about an hour or so to listen to us complain about the not complain, I think that's wrong, just talking about WWE and the ratings problems and really how they can fix them and possibly what the actual problem is. So hope you guys like it. Thanks for listening, and wait for Chris's colossal bomb at the end. It's well worth listening to. Thanks, guys.
So, and they've been all over it for a long time. Because I remember, Jeremy, when we met you down there in Nashville, like, I remember that arena being crazy. Like, they had back-to-back games the nights that we were there, and that place was a damn zoo.
Yeah. That was a regular season game against Edmonton. I don't know how I remember that, but yeah, it was Edmonton. Or was it St. Louis?
Yeah, well, And it was just like you said, like, I mean, because that was like November or something like that, so it was the beginning of the season. Like, it wasn't even an important part.
No, that was in March, actually.
Oh, was that March?
Yes. Yeah. But they weren't playoff contenders, so that it didn't really matter even then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I actually went to a playoff game there when the Wings played. And I can verify, this is before like their light show and they have all these goofy sayings and stuff they do now. They handed out those Thunderstick things. It was game 6. It was when Curtis Joseph was the Wings goalie. I can't remember the year. And that was insanity how loud that was. That's probably, outside of the Undertaker coming back when we were in Cleveland, that was the loudest arena I've ever been in. It was just pure insanity how loud those people were. And that was before they came up with all this stuff. It was just them being loud.
Oh, right.
The best thing to do is have your team score 2 goals in the first 4 minutes of the game. That'll shut them up real fast. So I didn't have to deal with it for too long. So
that puts the damper on the mood, that's for sure.
Yes. So, but yeah, so I can verify, at least not 7 years ago, that was a loud-ass place, and I only imagine it's worse now, so.
There are probably the equivalent number of people watching a hockey game that are watching Raw these days.
Actually, yeah, that's a good...
But I think we talked about it either last week or maybe the week before, at least a little bit. But Memorial Day ended up being the lowest watched Raw. Did you say, Chris, it was the second lowest?
It might have been the lowest was against the debate. The debate last fall, I think, the first debate.
Oh, okay.
So now, yeah, this is the new lowest. Only one episode. I think the stats are only one episode of Nitro ever had less viewers or less of a rating. I'm not really sure which one, how that correlates. But yeah, no, not good times.
And it's kind of funny. Like, the business plan doesn't ever seem like they haven't had any freakouts about that, have they?
Like, they don't. Either they're in denial about it, or it's just the rest of USA's lineup is just such a disaster at this point. I mean, they're promoting that stupid celebrity and their kids game show all throughout SmackDown. No one can still tell me who Todd Chrisley is. I mean, I know shows like Mr. Robot's critically acclaimed and a lot of people like it, but apparently it's really expensive and not a lot of people are watching it, so... Apparently, WWE is safe. Now, what that means when their contract comes up and they're looking to renegotiate and make more money, and I don't know what that could mean, but because a lot of things can change still in 2 years. But right now, it doesn't feel like they're panicking. This week was definitely not a panic show.
Now, just to cut in real quick. The Game 4 did 5.7 million viewers on NBC. So basically double what WWE did. Double and then some for what Monday Night Raw did.
Oh, okay. So
that's, and it's the one of the highest ranked games in the last 15 years. Hmm. No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did see that it was higher than any of the ones from last season.
Yeah, pretty cool. But, well, all right, so you sent that article, and then I saw Deadspin did something about WWE's audience and the ratings and all that, but these ratings are strictly television, right?
Correct.
Okay, so that doesn't include Hulu, YouTube views, just everything else. So, I mean, I'm one of the cord cutters now, so I watched Raw last night, but mine's not going to count. So I wonder how skewed some of those ratings are, and if maybe that's why WWE doesn't panic. Like, we already know how many views we get on Hulu, or Sling, or, well, I don't know, Sling and DirecTV Now, and whatever streaming service. You know, maybe that's part of it. They're like, yeah, we've got all this to back it up, but... Yeah, but you're right. It didn't seem like anything big was going to happen because of it, that's for sure.
Well, it all depends on, for them, it's... You know, the revenue they make from all these other different, you know, channels and platforms. I mean, the much derided third hour of Raw. If you look at WWE's financials for the last couple of years, that third hour of Raw is their profit. Is their profit margin. If they didn't have that, they may not have had a profitable year the last 2 years.
So what is this? I mean, I'm not familiar with how their deal works. So is it what, ad revenue? I mean, or is this...
No, it's a straight rights fee.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that would make sense then.
Hmm. Yeah, so you'd think they have a reason to be concerned, but they don't appear to be all that concerned right now. As I said earlier, USA's got... you know, USA is not in a good way right now. There might be more suitors in a couple of years, so they're not sweating it too badly. There are definitely plenty of people watching it through other means, or even just following clips on YouTube or what have you. You know, still fans of the product overall, but you know, just not watching the show every week, which, you know, not good. I wouldn't describe it as good, but once again, maybe I don't have all the numbers they have in front of them.
Sorry. I was looking up ratings for USA. Of course, it pulls up something from 3 years ago, because that's topical. No, I don't know. It doesn't seem to be, there should be a panic yet, because like you said earlier, it's 2 years before the next deal comes up. I don't know where they're going to find the audience for this, because, I mean, to rebuild. Because when they, I don't have it in front of me, obviously, I would be curious to see what their ratings were when they signed that deal. I'm guessing they had to be pulling threes still, not the 2 point whatevers they're getting. I would expect it to be way higher. I can't imagine them going to USA or some other suitor and saying, hey, look at what we're doing. Because the first thing I look at is like, well, your ratings have been a slow decline, and we don't make any money off of your Hulu, YouTube. Well, they don't play anything from that on the network. You know, we're not making any money off of this, so we don't really care about your other streams of revenue to make up for the lost ratings.
That's another thing, though, that all viewership has gone down, so yeah. I'm not sure how much of that argument is going to be valid. Like, it's kind of weird in that department, because I mean, I think it's everything is getting less viewers for the most part, except for sports still.
Well, even sports ratings are declining too. I think the NFL and the NBA, aren't those the only two that have, well, no, football went down this year, but then after the election it was over, ratings went up. It's always a weird thing. Statistically, during an election, your football ratings go down. I don't know why that would happen that way, but but I know the NBA, they don't have great ratings until the finals. I mean, 19 million people watched Game 2 of the Golden State and Cleveland, knowing damn well Golden State's going to sweep them. Like, Golden State hasn't lost one basketball game in the playoffs, and the rest of the NBA playoffs have been utter garbage. But yet they're still getting people to watch. It's just, it's a weird thing to where WWE's programming, and people are leaving or going, supposedly going somewhere else to watch this stuff. Just strange to me. So even sports, but even sports though is getting the old, you know, shellacking that way. So,
yeah, I mean, there are a lot of times where I'll record, like, because I know that I can hide from, let's say, the Kent State football score. And if I tape the game, I know that I can buzz through that thing in, like, an hour and a half. Like, that is really nice. And that doesn't add to anyone's ratings at all, either.
No. No, I don't think... because I don't think they count DVR records, do they?
Well, they don't officially count anyone who's not a Nielsen family, a Nielsen household. So.
Okay, yeah, so this is kind of off topic, but on topic. Who the hell is a Nielsen family nowadays? I've never met anybody that had a ratings box.
I've never done it either. I've never met anyone. But this is what people live and die on. And
wait a minute, Chris, it's not you this time. It's
no,
Kevin.
It's not me.
My God.
Yeah,
see what it's like? See? See, the tables have turned.
Great.
Yeah. So the other thing I thought with like these with like the Nielsen family, it's not that they actually read what you're watching. You actually have to tell them what you're watching.
Yeah. Technology still has not advanced in that industry at all.
Now, watch, we're probably talking out of our ass right now, and it has changed, because you would think, digitally, you can just read what's on the person's station, which is kind of Big Brother-ish, but so is everything else, really. But I don't know. WWE's program is part of the problem. But then the other part is it's the way people get their media now. I mean, you've got so many different choices. And they, honestly, I don't have a DVR anymore. And we got home late, so I missed the opening segment. And I found out Roman Reigns beat Bray Wyatt. I went, I didn't miss anything then.
Right. So, I mean, now what? Maybe the biggest thing television had, you know, gives for WWE, the vehicle to promote all their stuff is, you know, you need a free you know, platform for people to become fans, to make new fans. People aren't just going to spend money on something that, you know, sight unseen. So, and so many other things that, you know, how you used to become a fan, you know, or if it wasn't flipping through the channels, it was, you know, going, you know, the magazine aisle, you know, at the drugstore or the department store. That doesn't exist anymore, really. You know, the wrestling section at the local video store, that doesn't exist anymore. I mean, there are still toys, so you still have that, and I think that, you know, the video games are a big deal because you go over to your kids, go over to their friends' houses, and they have this new wrestling game, and they can kind of get into it that way. But, you know, already two of the, you know, main ways that I think, you know, new fans were made are gone these days. So you definitely still, we're still not in a place where WWE can survive without television as a network only product.
Oh no, absolutely not.
Or even as a, you know, as a YouTube or any kind of, they still need they still need to be propped up by some sort of rights fees from a television network,
yeah.
as well as, you know, using it as a vehicle to promote and make new fans.
Now, what's this thing with YouTube flagging wrestling promotions and wrestling content as, I don't want to say pornography, but because it has, like, sex and violence in it? But yet WWE...
Yeah, not advertiser... Yeah, wrestling is not advertiser-friendly anymore. And independent promotions are, you know, going from making, you know, thousands of dollars a month to, like, $22 in advertising in, like, a month. It's really an awful thing that's happening there. Now, granted, you should definitely not rely on an income stream that's, you know, owned by somebody else. But at the same time, it's a real shitty thing to do. And,
but then I'm confused how WWE can still be on there. Because, like, some of these promotions were making it sound like they weren't even allowed to put their content up anymore.
I think that issue has been somewhat resolved with the whole promotion out of England, but yeah, they decided to put up a video bashing YouTube and their policies on their YouTube page, and that didn't go over too well.
I can't imagine that one. And I was just curious because I saw, was it What Culture? Did they cancel a bunch of stuff? And
Yeah. They've had to cancel a bunch of shows because they've lost a giant revenue stream.
Yeah.
But I know What Culture doesn't just do wrestling, but maybe some of their other content was flagged as inappropriate or what have you.
Yeah, because I know on the card is going to change there. The guys from AIW have complained about the YouTube revenue, you know, going nowhere quickly these days. So yeah, it's definitely a problem for some of these smaller promotions.
Okay, well, yeah, that clears up because I was just curious how WWE was able to be on there and also making ad revenue from it, but that makes, I mean, their clicks alone are going to get, you know, that it's, I like, I've been watching some of the up, up, down, down videos, and I'm guessing that's WWE sponsored material, so they're going to make the money off of it, but I was just curious how, you know, I mean, just one of those videos, I think Seth Rollins thrashing AJ Styles had like 600,000 views in Madden, which if you get a chance to watch that, it's pretty goddamn funny because AJ is a sore loser. And it's just, you know, the old days of playing video games with your friends and, like, you're not doing well. You've seen it firsthand, Kevin. You're not doing well. You blame everything around you. That's what AJ's doing. So, and he actually smashes the second place trophy.
Oh,
yeah, it was pretty cool. He threatened to slap the shit out of, slap the piss out of, was it John Cone? Is that the referee?
I think Cone's the referee.
Yeah, Cone was pumping up Seth Rollins, and AJ says, he's like, well, don't think I won't come over there and slap the piss out of you. I was like, that is a sore-ass loser. Damn. So I don't know. WWE doesn't seem to care with the ratings, so it's like, I don't know why we watch, so who gives a shit?
It still kind of cracked. Well, it made me think of something else that happened recently. I've been looking at getting a new phone, and the one guy says to me, goes, oh yeah, if you move to the unlimited plan, you're gonna be paying like another $50 or $60 a month. He goes, what you guys use, it's not a big deal. He goes, I use over 16 gigs myself, and I'm just sitting there looking at him like, the fuck are you doing? are you ever near Wi-Fi?
is he using it as a hotspot at home, and he just doesn't have home internet?
I don't know. I didn't ask the question, but I mean, I have it in my house. I have it in my office. I have it at the gym that I go to. I actually honestly have to turn it off in some stores just because their Wi-Fi is so shitty. But most stores provide it. It's at the arena. Well, at either arena, whether it's Nationwide or the Shot here on campus. So I was like, man, how do you use that much data in a month? Like, I just looked at him like a crazy person, but I mean, evidently it happens. So there is definitely a market for that. And yikes. You know, well, no, I mean, I guess it just shows you, like, the other type of, like, that guy must be using it for almost all of his video content, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons he went unlimited. You know, it makes sense if you'd be spending too much money. But, I mean, he's one of those people that have really gone all in on it. And he was certainly younger than us. Because I'm sure that, or at least I'm pretty sure that Chris is the youngest contributor on Stunt Granny at this point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think it's even close.
And he's still, well, it did crack me up. It was that other article that I sent about the average age of raw viewership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people were up in arms about that until 5 minutes later when Meltzer corrected it. It's not 54 years old. It's somewhere in the 40s, but...
Oh.
Apparently, according to... Where did it originate from?
Sports Journal.
Sports Journal, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's who got that out there. In some ways, I guess I wasn't surprised that the age had risen. I mean, I think we've kind of talked about it. Well, and it's kind of an interesting thing to me, at least. Like, the live events, the ones that I've been to recently here in Columbus, the attendance has been as good as it's ever been. So, like, I don't feel like, at least around here, the live gate hasn't really changed that much. And I do think that there are a lot of children that go to the live events. Well, and this guy that was, you know, running whatever ridiculous amount of data on his phone. It would make sense that average ages, again, you know, this is something that's kind of pretty much throughout except for tennis, that all the average age of viewers is going up. And, I mean, I just think that older people are less likely to get rid of all these things. You know, I'm used to TV. Like, I've said it before on the show that I'm guilty of watching more of the stuff that's just on my TV than watching the online content, even with the network. Like, I watch some on the network, but I still don't watch that much on the network. I'm sure I could watch more if I kind of dropped watching some traditional TV shows.
Yeah, see, when I got rid of my DVR, my TV watching has plummeted, but then now you can go and use apps and catch up on stuff if you want. Like, we're almost done with the Americans this season, which I'm not sure if you started watching this season. I haven't asked you on purpose because we're only halfway through.
I'm still pretty far behind. I think I have 8 episodes left.
Yeah, we got 6, I think. And wow, what an uplifting season this has been. Anyways, we can talk about that off the air. No, like, I can just turn, like, the network, just for WWE Network, I can turn that on at work and just listen to things. Like, I listened to Table for Three today with Orton, Flair, and Bruno. You know, it's not even like I need to watch it, just to hear something. So, I don't know. It's just different.
It's even things like that where I don't always think about it. Like, I guess I just go straight for podcasts for some reason. But, I mean, I could essentially do the same thing. Yeah, but I don't. Like, I'm not quite sure. Like, I've gotten more used to taking in streaming content. But it's still something that, I guess I wasn't surprised by the survey that the TV age is going up. Just because, older people are kind of used to it, so they just do it that way.
Yeah, but, all right, so wait, Chris, you said that Meltzer said the age is 44 or something like that, not in the 50s?
Somewhere in the 40s, yes. It's not in the 50s. I wouldn't believe that. I think the age is going up. If the average is in like the mid 40s, then yeah, that's going to mean a lot of people in their 50s and early 60s watching. The biggest
would have made sense because I think they said it added 16 years and they started at 28, which would be 44.
And that's what I was kind of getting at was, I mean, with our average age, that makes sense because we're part of that demographic or that average of the 40-year-olds, you know? And it makes sense because of the Attitude Era, you know, Monday Night Wars, all that stuff. We were what, in our 20s?
Yeah.
So we're the people who never left, even though I was on board before that, but we're the people that never left.
Yeah, that's what they... where they're probably the worst right now is... teenagers, especially teenage boys, are turning out in droves. But, you know, once again, it's sports playoff season. There's a lot of things to do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not hot. I mean, there's not that character that's going to speak to that generation right now.
No, not a one.
I think we've mentioned this a lot. The WWE brought in a lot of guys that are, well, quite frankly, old. They keep on selling them as new faces, but Finn Balor is, just outside of the demographic watching. Shinsuke Nakamura is, you know, it is, what, 35, I believe? I think it helps to be in that age range to help capture that demographic.
Back in the day, only Rock was truly young, I think.
Yeah, Triple H was.
Triple H was, wasn't that much older than him. I remember being shocked to learn that, by watching his Annie biography, that in 1999, Mick Foley was only 33.
God damn. That is a harsh life then.
Yeah.
You know? But no, so that age makes sense. And yeah, the teenager's not coming in because let's be frank about this. We enjoy it because we read stuff behind the scenes. We know character. We know people we like. And the people we really like aren't the ones that WWE sees as the big money guys. I mean, look. I'm not a Roman Reigns fan. I just think he sucks. I think the character's boring. The storylines they put him through are boring. His matches are fine, but I prefer a guy like Kevin Owens, even though, you know, I know he's the bad guy, but he can talk and he can work. I'm trying to think, like, somebody else I'm not enamored with, but like Braun Strowman, look what they did with him. That guy's he's marketable in, like, the worst ways. Like, here's the ugly, not buffoon. Goddamn. I don't know why I'm bothered talking today. I can't put anything together. But...
yeah.
It's like, the guys I like aren't the ones that they're going to give the push to. And, I mean... like, Brock Lesnar. I'm all about Brock Lesnar. A legit badass. Real athlete. And I know that's going to come off as wrong. But most of the younger kids are into UFC, even though they're struggling, or MMA. Not struggling, mind you, but they're not getting, you know, the huge ratings and the buys they used to.
They're having a rough year. Yeah. Connor waiting for Floyd and Rousey, you know, basically retired.
But it's but all the guys who are somewhat interesting, well, they're interesting because I knew them before they were in WWE or saw them at NXT. Because really, look at the talking segments on Raw. You really don't get to know anybody. And even, well, SmackDown's a little better, but even then, not that much better. And when we do hear them talk, it's not compelling because it's just words. That's it. Words. There's nothing behind them for the most part. How I feel about it, at least.
The most compelling to me was the Fashion Files this week.
That was really good this week.
I have to take something back after you said that. The Usos were fantastic tonight. I wish they would be like that their entire run. I like New Day, but boy, oh boy, that was fun. So
that was really fun. Yeah. I really like them. That they just went in on New Day. You know, it'll provide a different type of opponent for New Day. Maybe it'll force them to be a little more serious. Maybe not. But no. I like what that the Usos are just. They know who they are right now.
It's like, all right, cool. So you see them on TV, it's like, all right, yeah, that seems natural. Like, that seems like something they did. That doesn't seem like one of the writers for the show did, because I don't know, or maybe they're really good actors. But, you know, seeing them on Total Divas, yes, I understand what that means. Or on, what's a car show they do? Ride Along. Those guys got a good chemistry, and they're pretty quick-witted, so it makes sense that, you know, their kind of promo would go over pretty well, and the people seem to like it too, even though they're the bad guys. But
yeah, the tag team division is oddly a lot of fun, because between the Fashion Files and the Usos, and even New Day, I was completely fine with their end of the bargain too tonight. There's a lot of fun stuff happening there in the tag team division, and I don't know how many times I've said that recently too. Like, I know that there have been some inconsistent periods, but the wrestling's always been a lot of fun here recently, which is one of the reasons I stick around.
Yeah, and I really like the American Alphas match. No, never mind. are one of them hurt?
I don't know.
They don't even mention them at all.
No, they are done. They are out. Oof. Of the completely.
Well, that was also kind of funny tonight on this one, SmackDown Live. When Mojo Rawley came on, I'm like, oh. That's right. He's on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. He won the Andre Battle Royal on the pre-show, and no one watched in the 5 p.m. hour.
So I had to take a shower. So I caught Jinder Mahal's promo. Did he wrestle Mojo?
Yeah, he wrestled. He beat Mojo. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because no upset.
Because someone finally remembered that Mojo got that win over him the week before Jinder became number one contender.
Right.
So he had to get his win back.
And like, I didn't even mind Mojo today.
He was alright. He was docile. He wasn't annoying. But still not somebody it's gonna take a lot for me to be ever happy to see.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem with WWE as well. They don't utilize their roster very well. Because, and I know it's the even Steven booking thing, and it's becoming readily apparent. Like, why did Roman have to beat Bray Wyatt?
That was stupid.
I don't get it. And especially if Bray supposedly interfered, you know, his music played, whatever. What are we doing here? Like, why did they sign Curt Hawkins? Why not just have, you know, Curt Hawkins come out like a smart ass or whatever and Roman destroy him so Roman looks strong? There, you move on.
They need to fill TV time with a competitive match, and because, damn it, Roman Reigns didn't win it at Extreme Rules, so he needed a big win to get himself back on track for absolutely nothing, it appears.
But that's right what now. I'm getting at, is just have Curt Hawkins. Where the hell's Mark Henry?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Big Show shows up magically. Where the hell's Mark Henry at? You know, it's like, basically I'm getting at is use your roster to feed your top guys instead of feeding your top guys to each other. Because they just said today that was the first time, I know it wasn't, but that was the first time Owens and Nakamura faced each other? What the fuck is that doing on SmackDown then?
Yeah, even as a main event, it isn't something that you should do with no preparation whatsoever.
They hyped it from last week, but imagine a few weeks of build. And I understand that they're not trying to get money for pay-per-views anymore, but for God's sake, that's just simple stuff. I mean, you build up your feuds or matches, for God's sake. You just build up the matches. I mean,
yeah, and that match wasn't anything special.
No, it
either.
Was not. Well, it did not. The commentary did not help.
Oh no, that did not either. That was really bad.
And Nakamura knocks off Owens. He just beat the United States champion. He just cleanly defeated the United States champion
for the third week in a row.
Not a big deal. He just won.
Yeah, no. Is there a reason to be worried about not just this, the rock star, the artist, the overbranding of Nakamura, but did Nakamura cash out and just decide that he is just going to half-ass his way through this WWE run? He's done nothing all that impressive, to be honest.
No, he
for
really
a while. I mean, some of his matches with Rude were good and kind of a little bit more of an old school, you know, style. But has Nakamura really done anything all that special since the match with Sami Zayn at the Dallas Takeover?
Well, he had that really good one with Finn Balor.
Yeah.
In the whatever at Full Sail. But no, it's I was not familiar with Nakamura before he got to NXT. And, okay, I mean, he's cool to watch. He's got a great entrance.
Yeah, great entrance, great charisma, but it's almost like in-ring performance-wise, it's like he's learned that he doesn't have to do that much here.
Well, I do think that that's a WWE-style kind of thing. To keep the pace a little bit slower and that less is more kind of mentality that they have in their matches. So, I don't know. Maybe he's just taken the wrong... he's just dialed it back too far.
He may have... Be interested to see him in Money in the Bank, what he brings to the table there, since... I know he's had a long career, but... I don't think he's ever been in a ladder match before in his life. It's not commonplace in Japan. They've done a couple, maybe, but I don't think he was in any of them.
Yeah. I don't know. It just, but that the Nakamura thing struck me as funny. And I don't know. You still don't know much about him other than he's like a weird dude who's Japanese that doesn't speak great English. Yeah, I'm done. I mean, there's been no build-up for him. There's been no talk about him. Except now he paints. This is part of the problem. The writers are a bunch of goddamn bores. Like, Shahid always likes to call them nerds. Well, nerds know better. If you call someone an artist, that doesn't mean... Yes, it can mean they paint. It can mean they do this. It doesn't mean they do that. So he's the artist known as Shinsuke Nakamura, or the artist Nakamura, I think they were calling him this week. And they immediately show him painting. I'm like, well, this is different. And the light bulbs they use are the same light bulbs from the Luke Harper promos, which, where the fuck is he at?
Well, I did enjoy that him and who else got mentioned by Mojo or Shane McMahon during that segment?
Ty Dillinger.
Yeah, where's he at?
It's only a 2-hour show. Come on now.
How about you don't have a 35-minute diva segment? I'm sorry, women's segment to start. I didn't mind the opening thing. It didn't have to be so long. The match, that went through 2 commercial breaks, right?
Yes.
Didn't have to be that long either for a 6-person tag team match. I mean, SmackDown, it's funny. We say Raw's too long, but they seem to get everybody important on the show, where SmackDown has 2 hours, and Randy Orton does a backstage, Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn does a backstage, Luke Harper just gets to take the night off. No Ty Dillinger, even though you built him up for so long, which is funny you mentioned that, because I forgot he was on the show. American Alpha is just persona non grata. I mean, the Colognes came out. I was like, oh yeah, these guys are still on. Okay.
Oh, they have been reinstated as jobbers full-time for about a month now. They've been on. They've just been jobbing left and right.
And that's a damn shame, but yeah, they're getting their check, so yeah. Good for them. So, but there's different ways to do their shows, which is how this all started for me. Like, if you wanted the main event, you know what? Since they're moving Joe to Brock Lesnar, having Samoa Joe and Seth Rollins on Raw, because it's already been on, was it? It wasn't on WrestleMania, was it?
No, it was the next one. Payback.
Okay, so that's fine. Cool. That's the last match. Blow it off so Joe can just go right on to Brock now. That's fine. Give that one away. But stop with this stuff already. And I know Bray and Roman Reigns has fought plenty of times. Whatever. And then, I could go on and on. Like, I liked the shows this week. But then if you want to, like, really dissect it, they're not utilizing the people they have. The club should not be jobbers to Enzo and Big Show. They just shouldn't be. Move their ass to SmackDown then. I mean, that's where they should have gone anyways. But...
you know what? Now that we've kind of transitioned to Raw, let's talk about maybe the deadest character of all right now, Bayley. Oh, it's over. They need to do something with that. I mean, at some point, the Raw writers took her character from across the line from naive and innocent to mentally challenged. I mean.
Well, that's why I was not surprised when I saw the one meme. It's just like, is Bayley ready to join all of the failures from NXT?
Ooh, that's rough.
Yeah, I'm not quite there yet. Yeah. But
no, I think it can be. She's got enough that it can be salvaged, but she was absolutely destroyed on Sunday. She was made to look like a fool through the entire feud. She got like basically nothing. She was treated like an idiot.
Yeah, and she was
the build up, and she was treated like an idiot, like an idiot in the match. She got her ass kicked and beat clean in 5 minutes.
Yeah, she didn't have any time on Raw, did she?
No, they said she went home to cry about it. Basically, that's what they might as well have said.
Yeah, no, they said that she was at, due to her wounds, she was at home.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, all
the
right. Flesh,
that they heal.
Yeah, I don't know. It just, I kind of get it. I kind of wish they'd do more of that, to be honest. Yeah, this one just seemed to be kind of, you know, misplaced.
Yeah.
And because, you know, Roman Reigns, he was gone for a few weeks after Strowman beat the hell out of him. And then Strowman, you know, Strowman's gone, even though apparently it's a legit injury. So he's gone for a while. So they're doing that more and more, which I like. And, you know, but then they forget it also in some cases where Baron Corbin beat the bejesus out of Sami Zayn, and Sami Zayn was back on the next week. Like,
That was on the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I was like, that was a rough ass kicking. I thought they were writing him out of the Money in the Bank match, but
no, well, or even you mentioned Reigns, like he survived that first one, but then he wore like a full body cast for 3 weeks. Yeah. It's just like, oh, come on, man, come on.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't want to turn into like Roman Reigns bash. That's not the point of it. But it's like, yeah, that sort of stuff. And there was somebody like, I remember thinking with CM Punk saying they don't want the wrestlers selling long term injuries. And it's like, well, then nothing matters. You know, oh. I mean, you fall off a ladder through a few tables, you shouldn't be wrestling for a week or two. You know.
It's just for the fact it would probably be for the betterment of your employees or independent contractors as they are so deep.
But no, but to get to like a real critical aspect of their stuff is, I mean, Bailey, yeah, Bailey, I don't know why this has happened to her.
Well, and she even got the, she got the ass kicking before Raw or during Raw, so I'm like, oh, okay, she's finally gonna win and she's gonna show backbone on Sunday. And then, oh, well, that's interesting. Bailey pooped in someone's Wheaties and it was it was not a good idea.
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny seeing. I guess people, NXT, I guess, isn't a highly viewed show on the network. You know, it's in their top 10 programs, but you would think NXT would be number one, and it's not. Maybe people just don't get her.
And I thought that from day one when they just brought her up as a fully formed character. And dropped her right into Raw. It was the journey. The story was her. It was like a, I want to say like a three. You know, the character that the original character that was, you know, designed by, you know, probably very much designed by Dusty Rhodes. It was a two or three year journey. Probably a 2 year journey. If we're talking about from her debut when she first started hugging to beating Sasha Banks in Brooklyn. People followed her on a journey. There was no journey here. Just a fully formed character, this child. You may be, you know, maybe you don't blame people for thinking, is she handicapped? You know, it's like, yeah, because you don't explain what, you know, why she's like this, how she developed into this, and they didn't at all.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it ties back in with Jeremy's point, and, well, all of our points, honestly, is that they just haven't done a good job of explaining anyone's characters. Like, whether Bailey can work or not in main roster is different than, like you say, just dropping down that fully formed character without telling people on Raw what she's about. Like, they haven't told any story with her. Like, I don't know that much about her other than a fake This Is Your Life skit, which was horrific, from Alexa Bliss, or even just Charlotte made fun of her for being a wrestling fan growing up. Like, I know that she was a wrestling fan growing up. Outside of that, if I'm watching Raw, I don't know what the hell she brings to the table.
Well, they even made fun of her for liking wrestling. That was like the big thing.
Yeah.
And we have to honestly ignore that entire segment of Bailey, This Is Your Life. Because that was just utter trash. That it didn't actually hurt Bailey at all. It just sucked, you know?
Oh.
So, yeah. Okay, you sure showed Bailey. I don't think that actually showed Bailey at all. But, you know, it's... I don't know. I think Chris, I think it'd be a little harsh asking if she's actually, like, mentally handicapped.
I have friends who've asked that. What's up with her? I really do.
Jesus. They're trying to show her just to be nice, but it's written by a bunch of people who aren't nice in a company that isn't a nice company. Their history dictates it. No matter how many be a stars they want to throw out there and how many make a wishes they make, you know, it's a historically not savage because that's way overused. It's a historically backhanded and kind of evil's too strong of a word, but it sure as hell isn't good.
Yeah, they have not exactly been progressive.
Yes.
With their policies at all. Because it took what the Divas Revolution started, and they didn't actually kind of invest in them until like a year later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it took a full year of them to pretend to put them over to actually starting to feature them on a more regular basis.
Yeah, and how they did it was, like, well, we've got no actual talented women's wrestler on the main roster. Sorry. So we're just going to go down and grab everybody from NXT, except Bailey, because we're not sure if that girl's mentally retarded or not. So
I never use that word.
Hey, you can gussy it up any way you want. There's a little something called reading between the lines. She's not the second coming of Eugene. The greatest Eugene thing to bring back.
That would...
Oh my God, I would love to see that.
It fucking worked for about 2-3 months until Triple H killed it. It was working.
Oh, no. I know. Yes. It'd be fantastic to bring it back. Just for a little, like, nerdy social justice people, go insane. It'd be worth it just for that.
But yeah, no, maybe that's the thing with Bailey. It's like, maybe it's just too in between. Like, does she think she's a... Does she really think she's a child? You know, what... Again, it's that complete lack of character development at all from the writers on Raw.
It's just a girl there living her dream. That's literally it. And she's a positive person. And you're in a company that consistently makes fun of people's dreams. Like, I'm going to do this. It's my dream to be in WWE. And this is a behind-the-scenes thing. You always read about how they make fun of those people. Like, you're not supposed to be a mark for the business. That's the entire business. Like, well, I got into this business because I loved it. Why the hell are you making fun of me for it? But...
Yeah. Most sports don't directly make fun of their fans. Fans may think that they are, but they don't purposely incite their fans.
Yeah. Well, no. So, I cannot believe we spent an hour
talking crap about shows we actually most of which liked. I mean, maybe we should.
No. We're not making fun of the show. That's why I tried. I wanted to make sure it was clear. This is like, if you really are going to dissect their business, going into their sinking ratings, even though, you know, there's other streams out there, you know, that they can be getting ratings. You have to look at a core problem of the product. Yeah, you're making money, but for how long? And as it's the CM Punk, everyone said it before, McMahon's a millionaire who could be a billionaire. And they could be making money hand over fist, which I guess they are, because it sounds like they're putting a lot of money back into the product, too. Like, I would love to know how much that WrestleMania set cost. Oh,
I read it at $5 million, which I could not believe.
Wow,
but
really?
That's
crazy.
Yeah, apparently they've got money. There's no reason for doom and gloom yet. But yeah, I mean, the problems have been there for a long time. It's not a particularly Raw especially, not a particularly well-written show, although I do like some of the thing where places they're going. They're finally trying to do within two different places episodic mystery storytelling. And we don't know where those are going to end up, but at least they're trying something. It feels different, like they haven't in a while.
Well, here, all right, so this is, and I know it's not going to happen. The best thing they could do right now is have Samoa Joe go out there and beat Brock Lesnar clean. Because no one's expecting it. Joe, being a Joe fan and a Lesnar fan, I wanted this to be played out for a while. Just have Joe go on and tear, I don't care, kill Curt Hawkins 1,000 times over. Zack Ryder's coming back. Who cares if he's on SmackDown? Feed him over to Raw for a while. No offense to Zack Ryder. It's Zack Ryder. So just keep feeding people and build somebody up and then have the match. Because Brock Lesnar's not around. Yeah, he's a ratings draw. But, it's Brock. He don't give a shit. He's like, I got my money. I'm going to do what I want. Which that's his prerogative being his contract. Well, so the people who read newsletters, listen to podcasts, all that stuff, already knows how this plan's going. It's Joe, then Strowman, and then possibly Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, and at WrestleMania, it's going to be Roman Reigns. That's the plan, supposedly, going forward. Because everybody wants to see a Roman Reigns main event at WrestleMania again. Especially one where he beats Brock Lesnar for the Universal title. Well, you know what? If you're only gathering 2 million people watching your show, or whatever it is, it's time to change your stuff up. And what better way to do it than put... Joe ain't a pretty face, but he's also... He could be a face of your company. I mean, he could be a face for your company. Having him beat Lesnar would shock everybody. And I don't mean in like 10 seconds. That would be bullshit. But a real legitimate match, like 10, 15 minutes, if Brock would do it.
You don't think we're all still holding on to the shock from Jinder Mahal taking down Randy Orton?
Yeah, Now I would have been okay. I would have been great with them taking their time with Samoa Joe. But now this is just too soon.
He ain't no spring chicken though.
No, he's not, and it's, I don't know, it's just, I guess I'm not as big on Samoa Joe as I used to be, or once again, I think it'll still be something great to watch, but I don't know if it'll be anything that, Joe's just not their type of guy.
But you see, here's the problem, is their type of guys aren't getting it done. Their type of guys aren't getting, in-ring talent and behind-the-scenes talent, they're not getting it done. And I know the final word always ends with Vince McMahon's final word. So you know what? He's not getting it done as well then.
No.
So it's like you got to change something. If your ratings aren't going up with what you're doing, let's go with this basic fact. If your ratings are actually going down, your ratings are going down because of what you're doing, then what you're doing has to change. And if you want to say that this isn't a guy that WWE wants or gets or likes, then that's the guy you push. Because that's something different. It's not... I mean, Roman Reigns is a pretty boy. I mean, he's got the old matinee idol, strong looks. And, big muscles, all that stuff. And Joe is I almost said slob, but, he ain't cut. He's got a broken nose who knows how many times. Barely a neck anymore, which is a new thing. And he just looks like a badass. And in a world where UFC and MMA fighting has blossomed and people expect, some legitimacy out of their athletes, maybe that's where you go with it. It doesn't have to be forever, but that's at least something. I almost used a really dumb reference, so I'm not going to even bother saying it.
Yeah, I guess I don't see it happening, them doing that, you know, them going with Joe.
Oh, no, not at all.
And it's certainly, to me, I mean, the other problems that we're talking about him not having enough of a character, like, they gave Joe mic time, and I really enjoyed what they did with him this week.
Yeah, especially it was really good.
Sweet, the talking and just the mic from the cameraman picking it up.
Yeah, that was
like,
great.
I mean, it was a great segment. But the people that watched the top 10 moments of Raw on YouTube probably saw that, so they didn't need to watch 3 goddamn hours of TV just to catch that.
That was a great segment. I mean, once again, you got ready for the match, but you know what? Brock Lesnar's champion for a reason. They want him to go on a run and have it mean something when somebody beats him. Now, I'm not saying that someone should be Roman Reigns. It probably should, at this point, it probably shouldn't be. Either Joe should have been towards the end of the line, or the person in the line maybe should be Finn Balor, but it's just not time yet. Or maybe the person towards the end of the line should be Braun Strowman. Maybe they drag that out a little bit more. But, you know, the whole point of Brock being the champion is, and they've got, including Strowman, 6 viable challengers. Okay, maybe 5 if you depending on whether you count Bray Wyatt or not.
But no, you can't count Bray Wyatt.
No. Okay, you got 5 viable challengers of Bray Wyatt. They'll probably still go there anyway. But you know, so again, it shouldn't be Roman Reigns, but you need to have Rocco on a run. Well, I don't know how many shows he's doing, but WrestleMania, but he's got to go on a run.
But it's hard to have a guy go on a run when you're contractually say, hey, you only have these amount of dates.
Well,
you know? I mean,
as long as
was he around the Monday after WrestleMania?
Yeah, that's when they did the confrontation with him and Strowman.
Okay. And then that's it. He hasn't been around since April then.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
But obviously, I'm sure he's gonna do 4 or 5 shows between now and WrestleMania. Obviously, he's doing at least 2 in a row coming up.
I mean, let's hope. And also, as much as I still like my plan of having it happen, because it would be shocking that I don't want any title changes at a pay-per-view called Great Balls of Fire.
That I agree with too.
Yeah. So it's I don't want the tag titles taking hands. I don't want the Intercontinental title changing hands, the Cruiserweight, the Women's, none of it. Ugh.
I do have one question for you, though. If Joe were to beat Brock, what's a new match for him on pay-per-view already? It's the problem you talked about earlier. These matches, they just give away on TV to fill time.
Oh, Joe? Yeah. Well, yeah. No, that's...
Every match with Brock Lesnar.
Well, all right. I know I just discounted him, but Bray Wyatt, they haven't fought at all. They actually teamed up at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, they've had some physical interactions in the build-up to
Extreme Rules. Can't be Seth, obviously.
But the bottom line is, as long as Brock's still a champion, unless they want to, you know, drag out, you know, a feud, every match he'll be in between now and WrestleMania, well, except for Roman Reigns, will be a new match for him. Even Seth Rollins, technically not a new match, but an actual competitive match between them with Seth as the babyface and Brock as the heel is something new.
Yeah. I mean, I know they did it on NXT, but you do Finn and Joe, I guess. But I don't know what Finn's character is either. He's barely talked since he came back, and even at the pay-per-view, he didn't have the demon makeup on. So I guess because it wasn't a one-on-one matchup, he wasn't wearing it.
I'm starting to like just regular old Finn Balor. I mean, granted, maybe there's, once again, just a character development issues that everyone has, but I think that it should be a really, really special occasion thing that he busts out the demon. And Extreme Rules just wasn't that special.
Yeah, I mean, they've certainly just been okay with the old James Dean since, you know, Great Balls of Fire is so fresh in everyone's memory.
You mean Jerry Lee Lewis?
So is James Dean. So been down
I'm gonna go all Shahid here, but it's always a little disconcerting when old white people reminisce about the times before the civil rights movement.
Jesus, I didn't. Did he say that? That's funny.
No. I mean, oh. It's like something he would say, I guess.
Oh, all right.
It was pretty close to what he said to me earlier. He told me to go watch some more Murder, She Wrote, and I said I was okay with more Angela Lansbury in my life. But I mean I don't know what his character is. I'm okay with them not doing the demon thing if they don't think that it needs to be a thing. But he's another guy that's just. And I mean, I even think that Nakamura falls into this category. He seems over with the crowd, despite the poor judgments of the writing staff. But, you know, long-term-wise, they need to get something behind them at some point. And they can't always keep on blaming the talent. Like, that kills me about the WWE, too.
Huh. Oh, always. They made sure to put the blame for This Is Your Life on Alexa Bliss. Don't make no mistake about it.
Well, yeah, I forgot about that, but that's always enjoyable. It's just like you guys didn't have any say in the direction of that segment, huh? None, huh? Sure.
Yeah, none of you guys approved that, huh? The main man said, "Yeah, that sounds good, huh?" Shut up. In a controlled environment where they've got who knows how many writers, it's Alexa Bliss's fault. Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Goddamn idiots.
Who are you calling an idiot now?
Anyone who's blaming Alexa Bliss for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not the horrible actors you found, I don't even know where you got those two people. I mean, I don't think
it.
The old lady obviously.
It wouldn't have mattered if it was De Niro in his prime with.
Oh, I know it was terrible material.
With Center Prime.
With who?
Meryl Streep in her prime.
I was going to say Meryl Streep, but she still can act pretty well. De Niro's just a shell of himself, so.
Oh, okay. I see.
Oh, yeah. No, De Niro's a goddamn joke. Are you kidding? Ugh.
Well, yeah. I was not quite grasping your analogy there. I'm not going that deep.
I can't even think of it. Probably wrong show for this. But I can't think of a woman's actress, or woman's actress, then an actress who, like, was really good and just kind of fell off. Diane Keaton, I guess, would be the main one. Anyways, it has nothing to do with anything. But
you can ask me on the next We Watch Stuff.
Yeah, that'll be on Friday sometime. So, but no, it's with the ratings. I think it's WWE's fault to where the talent overcomes with good ending matches, as long as the producers and agents, whatever you want to call them. Don't fuck it up too. And have goofy endings. The really good matches with goofy endings. Or having your main star on SmackDown job out last week just to get the win back this week in a match where the announcer's like, and AJ gets his win back. They literally said AJ got his win back.
And then JBL still picked Dolph Ziggler to win at Money in the Bank.
Well, he's. He's not drunk. I know this is like the running thing, but he's not actually drunk, right? I mean, can we confirm that, please? has the Morrow stuff made him sober up? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's that was one of the weirder moments of SmackDown. I'm like, oh, he didn't just win, like, he won.
Yeah, decisively, like, yes.
Decisively, like, if... I just really don't know, A, what someone was thinking, if that was actually the ending, or if B, you know, Ziggler kind of called an audible and got the pin at the end there. I don't understand why he didn't do something more to make sure AJ got up last week. Like, it's so... That was so weird.
I still say it's a botch. Because when AJ came down, he had his leg draped, I mean, inside over one of the ropes. I mean, the rope was under, like, in the crick of his knee. Ziggler picks both of his legs up, and then suddenly lets go of one, and AJ was kicking his leg to the side, trying to find the ropes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I still say that's a botch.
Yeah, I think that was a botch, too. Yeah.
Because who the fuck is Dolph Ziggler? I mean, sorry, that ship has sailed. And how depressing... I know we got to wrap up, but how depressing was that footage last week when they showed Dolph cashing in and beating Del Rio? Like, I remember being genuinely excited when that happened.
Yeah, I think we all do.
And then you see him now, and you're like, whatever.
Well, then he gets kicked in the head 2 weeks later by Jack Swagger and say goodbye to your championship reign.
Hell, actually, wasn't it the next day?
It was
on SmackDown when it happened. So it would have been recorded the next day. It was some... Regardless, the next day or next week, still.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we're going to punish you for an injury that in no way were you responsible for.
Well, Del Rio got his in the end. That caterer sure showed him what was up, or whoever, whatever.
Jack Swagger really got his in the end.
Just, yeah. And another guy going by the... Wait, go ahead, Chris.
He doesn't have a name anymore.
Isn't he the artist formerly known as Jack Swagger? Is that what he's...
Just formerly known as Jack Swagger.
Okay.
That's what he's on indie posters across the country now.
Well,
he hasn't bothered to come up with a new name for himself. I guess he doesn't care anymore. I mean, he's probably
just
whatever and getting paid by whoever, and maybe he's got other ideas for his life. Who knows?
Yeah, he's got other ideas for himself and his smoking hot wife. So
yeah. Never mind. So yeah, just look up Jack Swagger's wife and go to videos. So,
on that note, I could continue my tour of Virginia with my Belltime beers, and this was Falconer's Hoppy Wheat Ale. And I've got to admit that I... it's Champion Brewing Company. It's actually the brewer here. And it was pretty tasty. It went down. It was not very hoppy, considering all things. Because most of these hoppy wheat ales now, you can really kind of feel it coming through much stronger than this. But I did like it a lot. 5.5% alcohol, 35 IBUs. So, I mean, it is almost a very light pale ale. If you're down in Virginia, you might want to sneak that one out if you like the just slightly bitter style of beers. So, Belltime beer for this show. And I think third straight week of Virginia beers.
Damn. Well, I didn't try anything new that I remember. I had a sour goze strawberry goze from somebody that was pretty good. So there's your plug, whoever you were that had the moderately good beer. I can say do not buy Wicked Weed and stop using Rate Beer. because they're both owned by Anheuser-Busch now. So fuck those guys. I'll be doing the show next week, so if you like hearing this sort of stuff, it'll be me and Chris next week.
Oh, right. Kevin's... How are you today?
Because Kevin will be somewhere on the beach earning 20%? A line from Die Hard. Anyways, this ain't we watch stuff. No one cares about movies. I'm going to get out of here, and now I got to switch the camera back over because I want to see Chris take us out. And thanks, guys.
All right. Follow the brand on Twitter at StuntGranny, at GrannyMaze, at DeFrango11. I'm at Chris Calamita, and we will see you next week. Or hear from you. God damn it.
Yeah, you should just stop. Yes! Yes! Yes!
You had it!